Blood Flow Restricted Rehabilitation, a progressive evidence-based treatment that utilizes an FDA-approved tourniquet to reduce blood flow to an extremity during exercise. Blood Flow Restricted Rehabilitation allows significant strength gains with minimal stress to the involved joint. This is ideal for anyone that is unable to tolerate high-intensity workouts, including pre- and post-surgery. PT Associates of Emporia at 12th and Industrial, 620-208-7878.
All the latest sports news and views, actions and reactions, your questions and comments. This is Saturday Morning Sports Talk on KVOE, 1400 AM, 96.9 FM, live and local.
And welcome to another edition of Saturday Morning Sports Talk, driven by LombineAuto.com. I'm Tim Miller, joined by Dylan Sherwood. We are in studio, Blake Cripps with the Saturday off. So it'll be.
Well, we had the last two Saturdays off.
That's true. So I guess fair is fair, right?
Yes. So, well deserved for both of us.
That's right. Absolutely. So, Blake gets some time off today to just kind of, I guess, do whatever as we will hold down the fort here. Plenty to visit about this morning. We'll have a guest here a little bit later on. Victor Ibarra will be joining us. Victor, the head coach of the Emporia FC semi-pro team here in Emporia. Of course, also the boys soccer coach at Emporia High School. Also, we'll hear from the respective coaches for tonight's Shrine Bowl game.
Yep.
Dylan, you had a chance to catch up with both of those during the week, and so we'll hear that interview a little bit later on this morning. And then, obviously, talk about, of course, we got the Royals to talk about. So far, so good in a big series with the Cleveland Guardians.
Yeah.
How about that? They've taken the first two, Dylan.
Yeah, dominating fashion last night. We were in here for severe weather coverage when that tornado warning popped up for the northeastern portion of Lyon County, and then the Royals' bats just went off, and we were on for like an hour and 40 minutes last night, and when we got off, when we concluded our coverage last night, it was the bottom of the eighth, and then Vinny Pasquantino hit a two-run home run and made it 10-3. So you gotta like the confidence the next two games for the Royals, because you look at who's on the mound. You have Cole Reagans this afternoon, Seth Lugo tomorrow afternoon, and if the Royals bats can keep it going and the pitching continues to be prime, this could be a very interesting way to go into the month of July.
Well, obviously, yeah, and a big series as the Guardians lead the division,
because it was the Royals were 9 games back of Cleveland entering Thursday, so they've taken 2, so now they're 7. They win the next 2, they could pull within 5, so they could cut a 9-game deficit to 5 by the end of tomorrow afternoon if they can get the job done today and tomorrow.
Yeah, so 10-3 winners last night. They hit 4 home runs in that game, so certainly had the bats going. Another good pitching performance as well. Marsh on the hill last night. Royals again get the win. As Dylan mentioned, they're 7 games behind the Guardians now in the AL Central. They are now tied with the Minnesota Twins for the second wild card spot in the American League. Royals in pretty good shape. You know, they had a little bit of a swoon there where that road trip they just came off of was obviously not good, losing 7 of 9, but certainly now performing much better since they've been home in a very key series. So
you know how brutal it is to follow the Royals on the East Coast?
A little tough, is it?
It was tough for me when I was in New York City because, one, I'm an hour ahead. So when they were in Los Angeles, they had 9-10 games Eastern time, and when they were in Oakland as well. So there was maybe a couple of nights where I was watching the Royals, but I know there were a couple of nights where I went to a couple Broadway shows, but when I got out of the Broadway show, I was able to watch the Royals.
Well, yeah, I imagine it'd be a little tough, obviously, trying to follow them as you.
It was different. It was different in my opinion.
Well, so best of luck to the Royals today. Again, back at it against the Guardians. 2:30 is pregame, 3:10 first pitch.
And Bo Jackson goes into the Royals Hall of Fame
today.
Oh,
does he? I did not hear that.
Yes. They had last night they had a couple of former GMs be inducted into the Royals Hall of Fame.
Saw that. Was it Cedric Talas and John Schuerholz?
Yes. Yeah. Yes. And today is Bo Jackson.
Very good.
So,
All right.
It's Bo Jackson Royals Hall of Fame induction day, and then Cole Reagans bobblehead day tomorrow. Superhero bobblehead day. I thought Reagans would throw on his bobblehead day, but that's not the case. Just missed it by a day.
I had heard Sean Thornton. I think he was out in the hallway, maybe talking to someone, and he was hoping that someone would snag him a bobblehead tomorrow. So.
No.
He's a bobblehead collector, and he was hoping someone would pick up a Cole Reagans bobblehead for him.
So. I would like to go in July when the Cubs come in, the final week of July. They have a Patrick Mahomes bobblehead.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, that would be a good one.
Yeah. So the Royals have been doing a lot of good giveaways lately, and of course, what was it, in May, they had the 2014 ALCS team honored, and then the whole weekend they did HDH bobbleheads.
Right.
So that was, they've done some good things this year, and a Patrick Mahomes bobblehead. Who wouldn't want to have a Patrick Mahomes bobblehead, him and decked out in royal blue, you know, with being a partial owner?
Well, quite the collector's item there. So again, Royals baseball here on KVOE AM later on this afternoon. Hopefully they can win game three against Cleveland, which would assure them, of course, of taking the series.
Yeah, and they've only played that four games already, and the Royals lead the season series 3-1. And we really haven't said that in a while. Where the Royals have been ahead in a season series against Cleveland.
Well, the exciting thing about it, obviously, is that through 84 games, so they've played over half the season, and we will soon be into July as of Monday.
Mm-hmm.
And the Royals, not only in contention, but as we sit here today, right there in the throes of being a playoff team.
Yeah.
And so I think at least through today, as of June, 30th? Is this the 30th? No, this is 29th.
29th, yeah.
As of June 29th, the Royals are in contention. They're playing really good baseball, and it's pretty exciting. I don't think anyone would have predicted certainly a first half the way they play. I think most of us were hoping they would just obviously play much better than they did last year, which would not have taken a whole mm-hmm. lot. But it's been obviously a really exciting first few months of Royals baseball, yeah. And hopefully they can continue.
A lot of good opportunities coming up in July for the Royals. They're going to play three with the Rays, got three with the Rockies, two with the Redbirds, those Cardinals. They got Boston coming up before the All-Star break. And then they have the White Sox, Diamondbacks, Cubs, and another series with the White Sox to wrap up July, and the Royals do not play the Twins until the middle portion of August, and after this series, Tim, the Royals will not play the Guardians until August 26th.
Wow.
Which that will be a four-game series because of a makeup from earlier this month in Cleveland, So still, there's seven games in the next 2 months between the Royals and combined with the Twins and the Guardians. The Royals still have to go to Detroit for four. They have the Phillies there late in August. The Angels come to Kauffman and got the Reds. Got to play the Redbirds again, Red Sox again. A lot of good opportunities for this baseball team to continue the push towards that playoff berth. And I know Blake and I, we were talking earlier this week because we're already starting to put our pre-conversations in for high school football, which I counted yesterday. We're 10 weeks out.
Time flies, no doubt. And we've already, of course, here at the station, we're already getting our schedules put together, like for the area games, for example, and we'll have that announcement for too long in terms of where we're going to be. But, yeah, Emporia High, Emporia State, everybody getting going here before too long. Pretty soon Emporia State will be in camp before we know it. That will be, of course, in August.
That's going to be here before we know it. I know July's going to go by here in a very big hurry.
Well, Dylan, as you get older, I will promise you, time goes by a lot faster. So, it's hard to believe that we're already going to be talking about football season here before too long. Of course, today we'll be talking a little bit of soccer. We'll have Victor Ibarra in. Of course, a busy coach, a lot on his plate between the Emporia FC and the Emporia High School boys soccer team.
I'll have to ask him how summer's gone for him with the high school team. So,
of course, the Shrine Bowl in town, the game tonight. But, man, it seems to me, of course, you know, just covering Shrine Bowls from years past. Now, I've been kind of out of touch, obviously, the last few years. But, boy, I tell you what, they sure have added a lot to the festivities in terms of just activities and things going on, or so it seems to me.
Yeah, and this is the first time the Shrine Bowl's been here since 2016, and of course they have a new executive director, Bryce Kessler. He's really put some good things together. Of course, they had the All-Star Showcase last night at Welch Stadium. Luckily enough, the Storms just stayed north of Emporia so they could have that and not have to go into weather precautionary measures. And just go from there, and hopefully weather can hold off for the game tonight. A lot of Division I athletes in the game tonight on both sides. You look at East, you got two area standouts with Tanner Heckel and Caden Massey, both from Linden, part of that 8-man Division I state championship team. Heckel, our Emporia Main Street area male athlete of the year, currently at Illinois, and Caden Massey at Kansas State. Both of them said they've transitioned well, and this has been a good break for them away from the college scene and come back and don that Linden helmet once more. A couple of Emporia State signees are playing. There are two on the East. A kid from Humboldt and a kid from Blue Valley West.
Yeah, I think it's Sage Huffman and Sage Sam Huffman. Hull.
Yep, and then Aiden Spires of Cape and Mount Carmel on the West squad. But there are other kids that I've been able to see over the last 2 years, covering Emporia High. Brooks Kappelman, Brock Kappelman's son, Brock, the voice of the Liberal Redskins and the Seward County Saints out there in southwest portion of Kansas. His son, a heck of an athlete, going to go play baseball at Seward, but a heck of a football player, and threw for almost 500 yards 2 years ago against Emporia High, and about did the same thing last September in Liberal. But also there's a couple of kids from Manhattan Junction, J.C. Heim from Washburn Rural. Heim, one of the best players in 6A, at linebacker, going to go play for those Ichabods. But there's a lot of talent on showcase tonight, and you can still get your tickets at KansasShrineBowl.com, or you can get them at the gate.
Yep, Shrine Bowl game tonight, again, over at Welch Stadium, kickoff around 7:05.
Yes.
So if you're interested in watching the cream of the crop as far as high school talent is concerned before they head off to college or whatever they may be doing post-high school, tonight's the night to certainly go do that. Well, Dylan, let's go ahead and squeeze in our first break here. When we come back, we'll visit with Victor Ibarra, head coach of Emporia FC, of course, also head coach of the Emporia High Boys soccer team. We'll talk with Victor Ibarra after this timeout. This is Saturday Morning Sports Talk. We're driven by LombineAuto.com.
At Longmont Auto Plaza in Emporia, summer is here, and that means hitting the road for those fun summer activities. And it also means summer savings on the right vehicle for you. Savings like $7,500 off MSRP on select new 2024 Chevy Silverado 1500 models, or 1.9% APR up to 36 months with approved credit. Or you can get up to $1,500 off MSRP on select new 2024 Chevy Equinox LT models, or 1.9% APR up to 36 months with approved credit, or a 3-year 12,000 mile per year lease for only $379 a month with $3,000 cash or trade equity. So for summer savings, come see us right now at Longvine Auto Plaza in Emporia, or visit us online 24/7 at longvineautoplaza.com. Chevy, together, let's drive. APR and lease with approved credit, plus TT&L, rebates assigned to dealer.
I'm Ryan Radke with This Week in the NCAA on Westwood One. Over in D1 baseball, the College World Series between Tennessee and Texas A&M came down to a decisive Game 3 on Monday night. After the Aggies prevailed in Saturday's opener, the Volunteers bounced back in Game 2. Then Tennessee had the lead late in the rubber match.
A 1-2 pitch. Breaking ball swung on and missed. He is out. And for the first time in school history, the baseball national title has a home sweet home on Rocky Top. The Tennessee Volunteers, baseball national champions for the first time ever.
Kevin Kugler with the call right here on Westwood One as Tennessee sealed their historic title with a 6-5 victory. The Volunteers are the first number one overall seed to win the championship since Miami did it in 1999. Tennessee is led by head coach Tony Vitello, who just finished his seventh season on the job. Georgia's top dog, next on This Week in the NCAA.
Because you want to hear bacon and eggs on your outdoor griddle, not the scraping of rust. Introducing the Weber Slate Rust-Resistant Griddle. Stays ready, not rusty, with a carbon steel cooktop pre-seasoned and ready to cook on right out of the box. The Weber Slate heats evenly edge to edge up to 500 degrees. All you'll hear is the gasp of amazement from friends and family when you serve the food. Cooking with the Weber Slate Rust-Resistant Griddle just sounds delicious and tastes even better.
That's to Georgia's Charlie Condon, who took home the 46th Golden Spikes Award. The honor is given every year to the best amateur baseball player in the United States. The Bulldogs sophomore led D1 baseball with 37 home runs. Condon is the first Golden Spikes Award winner in Georgia's program history. That's This Week in the NCAA. I'm Ryan Radke on Westwood One.
Live and local sports news and views. Saturday morning sports talk on 96.9 FM and 1400 AM KVOE.
Tim Miller, Dylan Sherwood back with you here on Saturday morning sports talk. We're driven by LombineAuto.com. Our guest this morning, Victor Ibarra, the head coach of Emporia FC semi-pro team. Of course, also the head coach of the Emporia High boys soccer team. And Victor, good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Well, thank you for having me. It's always wonderful to come back and, you know, try to spread some good news. And appreciate you guys having me here.
You were just saying, I think, before we went in there, actually, what, some time off, a weekend off, right?
Yeah, it was kind of odd. I got up and I was like, I'm sure I have something to do. And I was like, nope. So it's like the first weekend of the year where I can have a little bit of time for myself and family and, you know, just to kick back. So, but it feels odd.
Well, certainly an exciting year for you and certainly everyone involved in Emporia FC, first year of the semi-pro team. So, I guess maybe we'll just start there in terms of just give us your general opinion of how year one's gone.
I thought it went pretty much according to plan and excelled, in my opinion. Obviously, at the in the first interview and as I talked to everybody, it was just kind of like more of, you know, progress. It was about, like, you know, the physical, mental progress, game management. I thought the vision, in my opinion, whenever you start anything, it's always you would like it to be the results to come with time. anything quick, in my opinion, it's just, you know, going to dissolve pretty quickly. I thought our administration, everybody that was involved, did an exceptional job of making sure there was something constructive, there was something that was long-lasting. The support was amazing. The results could have been better, but in terms of even yesterday with the Panama game versus the U.S., I had a couple questions and text messages. It's like, oh, we should have won. And I was like, you know, like, soccer is not so much about scores and immediate. It's more about, you know, are you kicking it at the right time? No pun intended. And the World Cup 2 years away, the U.S. very much wants to be progressing. So that way they're peaking at the correct time. And they have a wonderful, experienced team. There's consistency with the coaching, whether you like him or not. You know, he's been there for a while. So same thing with us. I want to make sure we have something that's consistent, something that everybody can stand behind, somebody that knows. Just like, hey, what does it mean to be an Emporia FC? So we had guys from 10-plus countries come to little old Emporia. So, you know, the idea was to bring resources to Emporia that most of the time kids or parents are reaching out to Kansas City or Wichita. And so that was the whole point of Emporia FC, and something that can be here for a long time, hopefully, if the support's there and the structure's there. So I'm very, very happy with the season. In terms of results, it could have been better. But like I mentioned, I thought we were probably top two, top three in terms of play. Obviously, the idea with professionalism, the results have to come, and recruiting and scouting will be there. So I'm very, very happy.
And what was it like to have like a lot of that local flavor with guys that you coached at the high school level? You know, you had plenty of good players that you've coached in the past be a part of this first team for you.
Right. So I mentioned we had guys from 10-plus countries, but we also had over 40 kids from Emporia. And I had like 3-4 all-state players come back to play. So that was kind of the idea. You know, a marry of both sides, where I've been coaching here at Emporia High for about a decade. And so, you know, you get your Hectors, you get your Wilbers, you get all these players, Elijah, to come back. Mario, when I first started coaching, you got players from being professional all the way to, you know, JUCO, covering all levels of college soccer, including D1. So it was really exciting to see kind of how the homegrown players and home crop of players compared to these players from Japan, Brazil, Argentina, Montenegro, France, and how like that cultural marriage comes in, because there is a difference, not necessarily in level, but just the way you look at it. And so it was really nice to kind of get some of that to our youth academy and to some of our homegrown players, some of our high school players, and see how we can benefit from that.
You play in the United Premier Soccer League. Tell us a little bit about the league and talent that's in it.
You know, I could go on for days about that. It has over 100-plus teams. It's a national league. The playoffs are currently happening. Our conference has had the top two teams the last 2 years. So it's a very competitive conference. There's academies. There's academies from professional MLS teams. We have two with the Sporting Kansas City, and we got to, our players got to play against them and know exactly how it feels. So the league itself is very, very good, very professional. There's standards that have to be met, not just on the playing field but off of it. I believe it's going to continue to grow. I just hope it doesn't grow too fast that it cannot handle. That's what I'm scared of. But in terms of how finding a home for the team, like I mentioned, Emporia FC, I want it to be a brand. I wanted to make sure it'd be a positive brand. And if that is with the UPSL or MPSL or NISA or whatever that it might be, I want to make sure those standards align.
How's the youth academy grown here?
You know, it's something that I didn't want to start till next year.
Okay.
Till next year, because I wanted to make sure I had enough time for it. And I've been blessed with a lot of really, really good help. And I believe with the support system that we have, the board that we have, including Yahida, Michaela, Teresa, Gabe, who are part of the board, they've done a wonderful job making sure the marketing is correct, our exposure is correct, our reach out to the city is correct. with Eric Huggard at the lead with the Youth Academy, I thought he's done a wonderful job of making sure, kind of bring in everybody. And we had over 80 kids over three tryouts. And having the Emporia FC players kind of teach the discipline of very different positions, instead of like one coach kind of trying to gather everything, it's always going to be better. So in terms of the Youth Academy, I think we're benefiting greatly from the Emporia FC, just because of the resources that are at our hands, because we don't have to bring in a coach from Kansas City, where like you're having them once a week and then you're dealing with the drive back and forth. So it's just kind of the versus of us going to Kansas City and coming back. So it's really, really nice to have a professional team in town with the kind of players that we have and kind of share that with the Youth Academy.
So just getting back to the league for a second. So which teams do you play? I mean, what's your division made of or comprised of in terms of other teams that you play?
So Midwest South would have Sporting Kansas City Academy, which would be their third team. They would have the first team, second team, and then the Youth Academy, which is like comprised of mostly U19 players. And there's three or four older ones. Most of those kids are going D1. And then you have Emporia FC, which is us, and then you have Kansas City Surf, you have Wichita FC, who's a USL2 team. They're again D1 players. You have Inter Wichita, has been around for about 5-6 years. You have Dodge City, who currently are in the championship game for our conference, which is the Midwest South. A team from Salina, Ivy, a team from Nebraska. So we have about 10 teams, and there's 10 plus conferences all the way from California to the East Coast. And the idea is that they bring in all the championship teams to a round of 32, and then they go ahead and find a national championship from there. That national championship is able to go to a cup that is comprised of MLS teams and other champions from other leagues.
I'm going to turn your attention to something else real quick. How's summer been for your high school team? What have you kind of done with them so far?
So right now we are starting off. We're trying to see where we're at. We already played St. Thomas Aquinas, who's one of the best teams in the state. Year in, year out, they just have a good crop of kids, good coaching, good structure. So we got to see exactly where we're at and kind of how to move forward. We're still getting together every Tuesday, Thursdays, and some plus days that come around. I think our team is really, really good. Last year we lost out of our top four players. Arguably, we lost all four of them for a majority part of the season. And, you know, that comes with growing pains. And so we had a wonderful season in terms of, like, results, you want to say, because we played Newton, who was one of the top teams in the state at the 5A level, and we took them all the way to PKs, and we lost them in the very end. And so, to me, that tells us that we didn't even play perfect, considering we were very young. We had over 18 players play at least 20-plus minutes. So that tells us we have a lot of depth and hopefully experience. We're not regression. But with high school, that's part of the game. Mm-hmm. And so right now it's just about making sure we're peaking at the right time. Everybody's getting back in the same gear because not everybody plays year-round. And so I love the crop of kids. I love the support system with the high school. I think the high school does a good job of making sure we have the fields, make sure we have whatever we need, so that way we're functioning at a good level. So I'm very, very excited to kind of get that started back up, but I don't want to start too early getting too serious.
Right. And I mean, you get August 19th, this is the first official practice that you can guys start going, because – you know, when I've been looking over schedules for fall, winter, and spring already, and your first official high school match is not until September 3rd, and you'll go to Seaman, and then the home opener is September 5th with the St. Mary's Academy. But I guess another question, because when I was looking at the schedule, Titan Classic out this year, because I saw you guys go to Salina South that 9th of September.
Yeah, so our schedule, in my opinion, is one of the toughest. Mm-hmm. It's one of the toughest in the state. There's a reason behind that. I just don't see the point in, you know, not being playoff ready. I'd rather be 8-8 and make sure by the first, second game we're ready to go. So our schedule is extremely tough. Going up to Siemens, very, very tough. The idea behind moving Titan Classic was just, in my opinion, it's just a change of scenery. They offered a spot, and we thought, is like, you know what, is we don't have to play that Monday. I don't have to have practice on Sunday. There's a holiday weekend. I've been wanting to move it for a while. Bo was wonderful in terms of making sure to get that accessible. So it was just change of scenery, and I'm hoping for the best. And obviously, we've been there for a long
yeah.
time. I mean, I played when I was in high school in early 2000s. I went to the Titan Classic, so. It was just a change of scenery. It was nothing huge. The tournament had definitely gotten a lot smaller, but a lot of high schools are now having facilities where you can host tournaments for multiple days. So that's all that was.
We're talking with Victor Ybarr, the head coach of the Emporia FC semi-pro team, also the Emporia High boys head coach. I know a lot of people involved in making this first year happen for you, Victor. I know there's some people you'd like to come in here and thank for how much they contributed to the cause.
Yeah, I appreciate the time to make sure I recognize. I think I do a terrible job of recognizing all those people because I think they need to be thanked every day just because of the amount of work that gets put in to make it happen, starting with you guys, the Emporia Gazette, Emporia Main Street. I thought you guys did an amazing job covering us and helping us in whatever way possible. I would also like to thank the support of the USD 253 and then Emporia State Federal Credit Union because, you know, even to have, like, meetings in a space where there's a projector and, like, being able to have a nice environment where everybody can just listen, it's amazing. So the facilities with the district also have been amazing, whether it's the Jones Building or whether it's outside and on the turf. I know what bad turf feels like, and it's not fun. So I do appreciate all that. The other people I would like to big thanks out to is I wanted to make sure it was a sound business. I wanted to make sure that it was a break even business. I didn't want it just to be like, oh, just because money or no. I thought without our sponsors, we wouldn't be anywhere. Marlin, Darla Flanagan, they sponsored us. Michelin sponsored us. Hostess sponsored us. Becker's Auto Sales sponsored basically all the vans so we could travel out of town. And the kids didn't pay a dime. No one did. Decennio Compo with Remax. Akshed. Dynamic Discs. Gravel. Gravel Roast. I mean, there's been so many sponsors and people that I would like to thank that they were there from the very beginning and making sure that, you know, it was successful and they believed in the cause. And then obviously our board, which is Jahide Ybarra, Michaela Heinerman, Gabe Serrano, Teresa Ybarra, our coaching staff with Craig Rocastle, Jeff T. Blanc, our managers who were there also to make sure everything ran well with Daniela Navarro, Ashley Rios, and obviously Taco Zubara with the concession stands that they provided, you know, just a little bit above and beyond what a normal concession stand would provide for us. And ultimately, just the Emporia FC support of everyone that came out and watched us play. There was always 200 plus people, which in my opinion is really, really good. And then obviously the views on YouTube where we were over 500 every time when a live game was going on.
I guess my last question, Victor, would be your hopes for year two for Emporia FC in terms of the next step. What do you hope?
My hope is one, to progress. Like not have any regression, make sure whatever, you know, didn't work or wasn't well planned or it's even better. So the idea is that we have tryouts early February for everybody that's not in college, and then May, the second week of May, for college players. So tryouts are going to be out there ready to go in terms of like, hey, this is when we are going to go ahead and open up our season. So I would like to have like already a sound group roster that like only a couple pieces are moving. So I would like to make sure have a core group back and then obviously add on some pieces. We're going to have a preseason away for like about 2 weeks. So that way we can kind of have get that chemistry back up and running. That's something that I believe in, something that I was around when I was playing professionally. So it was something that I would like to do. But there's a lot of arrangements that have to happen before that that goes. So the idea is that the vision and the results show. Obviously, if you are just watching the game without any experience of soccer, you can tell, like, hey, like I can tell what's going on here. The now is like seeing the results. So, you know, if you're not able to see the play or understand exactly the formations or what's going on, it's like, oh, they're 9 wins, 0 ties, 0 losses. They're really good. Without really truly seeing what the play is like. So the results and the vision needs to start showing. That's, my, in my opinion, what I would like to see. It's just the results start showing because of the vision and the standards are set. And so there's no more working on that. It's now working on making sure the execution is there. So, and obviously continuing to support Emporia in any way, shape, or form. I thought our guys did a wonderful job answering the call of like, hey, you know, library's asking for a group to help out with library adventure. And they're out there with 30 kids, you know, in a little classroom working a soccer ball, which sounds dangerous.
Yeah.
It was. Like, you know, Cinco de Mayo, Unbound Gravel, they were always out there trying to help out Main Street and Jess when whatever they could. So the idea is that we have all that very planned out and we're still out there helping out. Now, most of those guys have gone back to France and their different countries just to enjoy the rest of the summer and get back to the college season. So the idea is just to make sure our vision is out there and everybody can tell what that is.
All right. Well, Victor, thanks for carving out some time with us this morning. Enjoy your weekend off, and I'm sure we'll be talking at you down the road.
Appreciate you. Thank you so much.
All right. Victor Ybarra, the head coach of Emporia FC, and, of course, also the head coach of the Emporia High boys soccer team. So let's go ahead and squeeze in our second break, and we'll come back with more Saturday morning sports talk right after this.
At Longmont Auto Plaza in Emporia, summer is here, and that means hitting the road for those fun summer activities. And it also means summer savings on the right vehicle for you. Savings like $7,500 off MSRP on select new 2024 Chevy Silverado 1500 models, or 1.9% APR up to 36 months with approved credit. Or you can get up to $1,500 off MSRP on select new 2024 Chevy Equinox LT models, or 1.9% APR up to 36 months with approved credit, or a 3-year, 12,000-mile-per-year lease for only $379 a month with $3,000 cash or trade equity. So for summer savings, come see us right now at Longbine Auto Plaza in Emporia, or visit us online 24/7 at longbineautoplaza.com. Chevy, together, let's drive. APR and lease with approved credit, plus TT&L, rebates assigned to dealer.
From ABC Sports, I'm Chuck Sievertson. The wait is finally over for rising hockey star Macklin Celebrini, who was the first to hear his name called at last night's NHL draft.
With the first overall selection in the 2024 NHL draft, the San Jose Sharks are very proud to select, from Boston University, Macklin Celebrini.
Sharks legend Joe Thornton announcing the pick last night live from the Las Vegas Sphere. The Sharks selecting their center of the future out of Boston College. Celebrini talked to ESPN's Leah Hextall after being drafted.
Just a surreal feeling. I've dreamed about this moment ever since I was a kid, and for it to come true, it's an amazing feeling.
A blockbuster trade in the National Basketball Association. ESPN's Adrian Wojnarowski reported last night that the Hawks have dealed DeJounte Murray to the Pelicans in exchange for Larry Nance Jr., Dyson Daniels, and two firsts. To baseball, Yankees at the Blue Jays, top six with two on and down 3-1, Juan Soto up to bat.
3-0 on the way. Swung on with the green light and hit deep to right, way back there. Adios, amigo! Oh, what a bomb to right by Juan Soto! A three-run homer!
On WFAN, New York would pile it on, 16-5, the final. More AL, the Orioles over the Blue Jays 2-1, and the Royals beat the Guardians 10-3. National League, the Phillies down the Marlins 2-0 behind a Christopher Sanchez complete game shutout. The Brewers beat the Cubs 4-2, and the Braves chopped the Pirates 6-1. Interleague, Mets 7, Astros 2, the final, and the Padres defeated the Red Sox 9-2. Chuck Sievertson, ABC Sports.
Summer's just getting started, so fill your cooler with the smooth and refreshing taste of Twisted Tea Hard Iced Tea.
It tastes like real iced tea because it's made with real brewed tea. And with a 5% kick of alcohol, Twisted Tea is perfect for the beach, the lake, or wherever you're hanging out and day drinking with your friends. Look for the bright yellow cans. Twisted Tea Hard Iced Tea. Keep it twisted.
Twisted Tea Brewing Company, Cincinnati, Ohio. Please drink responsibly.
I'm Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. I learned about atrial fibrillation the hard way. My symptoms would come and go. Shortness of breath, fatigue. I kept going. Then I got so lightheaded, I couldn't. My doctor said I have AFib, so I'm about 5 times more likely to have a stroke. Other symptoms, irregular heartbeat, heart racing, chest pain, can come and go, but the risk of stroke stays. If you have symptoms, tell a doctor. Visit notimetowait.com.
Sponsored by Bristol-Myers Squibb and Pfizer.
Live and local sports news and views. Saturday morning sports talk on 96.9 FM and 1400 AM KVOE.
And welcome back to Saturday morning sports talk. Tim Miller, Dylan Sherwood with you. And Dylan, we're going to step away from sports just for a moment. Yes. We have some news happening in Emporia, I understand.
Yes, and joining me in the KVOE control room is Chuck Samples. Chuck, what have we got?
Well, it's the latest water main break issue, but it's notable because this happens on West 6th Avenue or West Highway 50 between Oak and Arundel. Right now, there's actually water that's gone through the street and also the sidewalk pavement. So there's at least 3 different failure points for the pavement itself. No word yet from the city on basically the size, the diameter of this line that's affected, but this is in the, at least the pavement break in the street is for the westbound inside lane. So for folks that need a point of reference, this is right outside of Sherwin-Williams, the business there. There will also be, the city has said that there will be some traffic adjustments for that block soon. They haven't happened yet, but likely westbound traffic is going to be one way here fairly soon. So please keep that in mind. There could be some additional pavement work that needs to be done for the east side, the eastbound traffic as well. So this involves West 6th Avenue between Oak and Arundel water main break, and expect there will be traffic adjustments coming soon for that specific block.
All right. Thanks, Chuck.
All right. Obviously we'll be following that story this morning. Another water main break, unfortunately, with the hot temperatures and whatnot. A lot of settling going on, and so the poor city guys back at it again there on West 6th. Getting back to sports, of course, we mentioned the fact the Shrine Bowl here in Emporia at Welch Stadium tonight, 7:05 kickoff. Dylan, you had a chance to visit with the respective coaches on the east side, Weston Moody from Wamego, and on the west side, Jace, is it Pavlovich?
Yes, Pavlovich.
From McPherson, and you had a chance to visit with them this week.
Yes.
All right.
The 51st annual Kansas Shrine Bowl is tonight at Welch Stadium. Kickoff is at 7:05, and we're going to break down tonight's matchup between the east and the west, and joined now by east coach Weston Moody, the head coach at Wamego. Coach, welcome to Emporia.
I am glad to be here and honored to be the head coach of the East.
And you've had some experience in this game before, but as an assistant, but now being a head coach, what's that been like?
Well, I was the defensive side of the ball, so now I'm switched to the offensive side of the ball, which is fun. It's been a great experience being with coaches that have done this before and have been around the game for so long. It's been an honor. It's been fun all week long, and now we're just ready for the game.
What's your biggest takeaway and what you want to have your team play here tonight?
Well, hopefully they just play loose. You know, it's one thing when you're trying to install an offense in 1 week. Having the ability to have these guys in a camp by themselves, kind of isolated, it's been nice. And we have good kids that have high IQs, and a lot of them are going to play at the next level. So they've taken everything full stride, and I think it's going to be a good game.
You got two from our immediate coverage area, both from Linden, won the 8-man Division I state championship. You know, Caden Massey is going to go play at Kansas State up in Manhattan, and then Tanner Heckel, also from Linden, already doing some good things up at Illinois. How have those two kind of fit into your system this week?
Well, I mean, they're dynamic athletes. Not all the time are you going to get eight-man kids that are going to play Division I football. Both of them are, you know, high IQ kids, and there's a reason they won the state championship. They're dynamic, and I'm just looking forward to being able to coach these guys on Saturday and see what they can do.
Can you talk about some of the other standouts you have on your roster? I know you have Dylan Dunn from Blue Valley Southwest. I've been able to see him the last 2 years in the playoffs, and he's going to BYU.
Oh, yeah, we have a lot of Division I players that are going to be playing on Saturdays at some point. So being able to coach a bunch of guys that are high-level athletes has been fun.
I believe you also have a couple of Emporia State signees as well on your roster.
Oh, yeah, we got Emporia State, we got Butler County, we got Washburn, we got a bunch of the MIAA schools that are represented. So it's going to be a fun game on both sides. You know, you see, look at the west side, too. They're pretty talented as well.
I know you're a Salina guy and you went out to Hayes, but what's it like to be back in an MIAA stadium?
Well, you know, Emporia State was our rival, you know, I'm a Fort Hays guy, so it's kind of weird being here. And last year, being at Hayes, it was fun. Kind of get to reminisce a little bit, and now I get to, you know, reminisce about being here at Emporia.
And what's the biggest emphasis you're telling your kids this week?
The most important thing is, you know, this is the last time they're going to be playing, you know, with that logo on their helmet and representing their school on the east side. And, you know, the Shrine Bowl is just a fantastic opportunity to raise money for the Shriners, and getting the opportunity to learn about what the Shriners do is going to be awesome.
And what's your big key to getting an Easta victory here this weekend?
Well, you know, it's going to come down. Usually it comes down to a couple big plays, and, you know, both sides have talent. So it's not like we're the only ones with talent out there. West side has talent. They've won the last couple times. And I think East side, the last time they won was in 2018. So we're hoping the East can come out on top.
And it's all about having fun as well in the process.
Oh, absolutely. You know, you get to play high school football for the last time. And it's a little different when you're playing college ball. You know, this is an opportunity for these guys to play with guys they competed against and on the big stage and in front of a lot of fans. So I think it's going to be fun.
Well, Coach, appreciate the time as always. Thanks for joining us here this morning. Best of luck tonight in the Shrine Bowl.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
That is East Coach Weston Moody from Wamego, coaching in the 51st Annual Kansas Shrine Bowl being held tonight at Welch Stadium. As we continue our 51st Annual Kansas Shrine Bowl preview here on Saturday Morning Sports Talk, we go to the West squad now, and joined now by West head coach Jace Pavlovich from McPherson. And Coach, first off, welcome to Emporia.
Thank you. It's we're happy to be here. It's been a great week so far, and we expect more of the same.
Talk about your previous experience in the Shrine Bowl.
Well, so last year I was the defensive coordinator, and it was awesome because, you know, you have the head coaching duties, and there's a lot that comes with that, and that's the most fun I've had, you know, coaching football in a long time, because you could just coach football. And this year the responsibility is a little bit different, but I sure am having a great time. We have a great staff of coaches and a bunch of fantastic kids.
Can you talk a little bit about your team? I know you have a future Hornet coming here as well.
Yeah, we have a few. The team is really gelled together. You know, most kids late at night, they're on their cell phones, you know, walked up into the lobby, you know, last night, and they're all playing board games. You know, so they're starting to gel, and that team chemistry is coming along, and they're all talented. Everybody's talented here. The East is super talented too. So we feel like, you know, that toughness and chemistry will help us a long way.
How do you feel like the transition and putting in an offense and a defense, especially just for one game in just a week time?
It's stressful. It really is stressful, but the kids pick up on things just like that. You know, they're the cream of the crop. They're elite kids, and you coach them once, and they got it. So they've eased that transition into, you know, inserting our schemes, and it's like I said, it's been fast and furious, but it's been fun.
Who are some of the standouts that you might have seen that have been doing well? I know, you know, having a lot of players to choose from. Who's kind of stand out, and maybe people come to the game tonight? Who are they expect to do some good things?
Well, I mean, it starts with our captains, as voted by our team. Jackson Voth. You know, I'd never met the kid or seen him play, and he's everything he's cracked up to be, you know, across the board, on the field and off the field. Caden Messenger, another Cheney kid, he's incredible. Great kid as well. And so those two stand out. Brooks Kappelman, this kid is electric. He's got a great arm, and he's led us all camp. So it's been really nice to see. So,
and Jack Voth going to go play at K-State, help Cheney to their first state championship. Knocked off Andale twice, but and Brooks Kappelman, I know Emporia fans, you know, had an opportunity to see him the last 2 years, and yeah, his dad is a radio broadcaster at Liberal.
Oh, I didn't know that, but Brooks has had a really nice camp so far, and it's hard, you know, it's so hard in a game like this to narrow it down and talk about a few kids, and because they're all incredibly talented.
What's big and what kind of style of play will we see out of the West squad here tonight?
Well, you know, we'll be multiple on defense. We're moving around a lot. Coach Dingle's the guy that is calling our defense, and offensively Coach Meeks is calling our offense. So we'll be 10, 11, and 12 personnel.
And what's the key to a West victory here tonight in the Shrine Bowl?
Well, you know, no different than any other game. You know, eliminate turnovers and score in the red zone and tackle well. So we get that done. We got a chance to come out with a win.
And what's been one emphasis you've been telling your kids all week?
Well, it really has been chemistry, team chemistry. And all these guys can play. They all understand our schemes now. And it's, you know, when things get hard out there on the field, you know, we want to make sure that the guys are fighting with and for each other. So, you know, we get that done, and you know, we'll be able to fight through some hard times, because it's inevitable in a game like this. They're gonna do some things, some good things, and we gotta find a way to answer.
And of course, playing for the kids as well.
Absolutely, what a great experience all the way across the board, and this cause is tremendous. All the stuff that the Shriners do is second to none, and we look forward to the hospital experience for sure.
Well, Coach, appreciate the time. Thanks for joining me here today. Best of luck here tonight in the 51st Annual Kansas Shrine Bowl.
Very good. Thank you, sir.
That is West Coach Chase Pavlovich from McPherson. Join us here on Saturday Morning Sports Talk.
All right, so a little preview for you for tonight's Shrine Bowl game. Again, 7:05 kickoff at Welch Stadium. They have the parade this morning.
Yes, 10 o'clock. 10 a.m., and it'll go south on Commercial from 12th to 4th. So
a okay, so
little backwards in parades here in Emporia. So
go check
just
out
a little reverse.
Yeah, so go check out the parade again, 10 a.m. this morning, and then the game tonight. Just to wrap it up, of course, Royals baseball here on KVOE later on this afternoon against the Cleveland Guardians. 2:30 pregame, 3:10 first pitch. Again, the Royals looking to win the third straight against the Guardians in Kansas City. Our thanks to our guest, Victor Ibarra, of course, head coach of Emporia FC, and also the head coach of Emporia High Boys Soccer. Thanks to the two coaches, the Shrine Bowl, who gave Dylan some time.
Yeah, I want to thank the camp directors, Jack Hall of Emporia. This is Jack's final camp that he'll be running for the East squad, and Jack was able to get me lined up with Weston Moody and also visit with Tanner Heckel and Caden Massey, and then Greg King from the West. I was able to touch base with him to get a little time with Jace Pavlovich as well. So I got to thank those guys as well. Thank Bryce Kessler. He's been on our airwaves a couple of times previewing it, and it should be a fun atmosphere tonight at Welch.
All right, so that will wrap it up for us here on Saturday Morning Sports Talk. For Dylan Sherwood, I'm Tim Miller. Saturday Morning Sports Talk, driven by LombineAuto.com.
Two backs in the backfield, Bennett and Ross are both in.